Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, we're going to pick her back up, kind of where we left off last Lord's Day evening. We were talking, well, in the greater scheme of things, this study is all things considered. So I started this study, as I mentioned, by just looking at the word consider in the New American Standard Bible and what type of Greek words were used to translate into the English word consider, you know, a word that I think most of us understand at its basic premise. Just there's a thought that we need to think about these things. But, you know, when I saw that there was 14, 15 different words, I'm like, okay, so there's more of an idea of what this consider is all about. So let's get the fullness of the picture of what the Spirit, through the writers, was trying to communicate to us. So last week we talked about the word that shows up the most in the New Testament translated as considered. And that is the word logizomai, and it shows up a total of 44 times. It's only about 6 or 8 times it actually shows up translated as the word consider or considered. But its use is interesting in that I mentioned last week again that the Apostle Paul uses this word almost exclusively in the New Testament. There's only about a half a dozen or so references that are used by other writers as other than the Apostle Paul in the use of this word as he's moved by the Holy Spirit to use the word logizomai. Remember, there's 14 or so, 15 different words that you can see in the Greek if you just take the word consider and look it up in a lexicon or some kind of a Greek lexicon or a concordance or whatever and see all these various Greek words. But this one is used by Paul, and again, it's used 44 times, and of that 44, I think it's about 37, 38, somewhere in that area, that are used by the Apostle Paul. And particularly, I mentioned last week, 19 of them are in the book of Romans, and 10 of those, so 29 out of 30-some that he uses, are comprised in the book of Romans, in the book, the two letters to the Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And I mentioned, again, this is just a quick review so you guys kind of catch up where I was at, where we're going to go. I mentioned that if you think about what's written in those letters, the letter to the Romans is all about a dialogue that Paul's having, you know, about law system, the law of Moses, versus the system of the faith of Christ. And then in 1 and 2 Corinthians, it has to do with issues that have cropped up in the assembly there in Corinth that Paul needs to deal with. And you're going to see that a lot of that, if you go back and do your research, that Paul's talking about there is he's comparing or contrasting. And in 2 Corinthians in particular, it's typically about his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. So I said, okay, so what does this word mean? And logizomai, at its very, very, very basic form, means it's to take an inventory, okay, to count. And I showed you the three uses of it in the gospel accounts in Mark, Luke, and John, where it's either translated numbered or counted or take into account. And then we looked at the compound forms, analogizomai, which means repetition or intensity, and then that showed up in Hebrews 12, and I mentioned that has to do more with an intense thinking about what was mentioned there, and particularly that consider, you know, the hostility that Jesus suffered against himself by sinners. And it's so that we will think about, wow, if that's what he went through, then that very likely is going to come our way if things really get bad. And things are really getting bad in our culture, which used to be a bastion of you know, security and safety for things that were godly. That no longer exists. America is not a Christian nation in any sense of the word anymore. You cannot say that. You know, just based upon our culture, our laws, everything. You can't say that. Okay? So we are an anti-God, anti-Christian nation now. I don't care what anybody else has to say. And as you guys know, I have a strong saying about opinion. And you know what that is. Everyone's entitled to my opinion. So, and that is my opinion. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's okay. But I do not believe that America is a Christian nation in any sense of the word anymore. I'm sorry, I just do not. I can't look out and see what's going on in our culture and somehow believe that we're a Christian nation. I can't. So that's where I'm at. Just so you know. All right, so we can see that things are very dark, and that persecution is getting ratcheted up, and Satan is at work through the powers that he has control of, the worldly forces at work. Those spiritual forces of darkness are turning everything that he can, those powers, and focusing it on the church and things that are important to the church, important to Christ, and he is doing all he can to shut that down and shut our mouths. And that's moving rapidly, okay? There will come a day where we'll say something from up front and you'll read about Nolan or myself or Jared or somebody being arrested for it. Okay? It's coming. You know, it's just going to happen. If I live long enough and things continue the pace they're at, that's what's going to happen. It just will. I'm not trying to be a doomsdayer. I'm just trying to prepare you for what's coming. I mean, that's exactly what the church, when it got off the ground in the first century, faced. Exactly what I'm talking about right now. That's what they faced. That was not a possibility. That was the reality. And that could very soon be ours. So this study, just like everything else I've tried to do in the past several years when I'm up front, is to get the brothers and sisters in Christ to appraise things spiritually like the Scripture wants us to do and put the proper value on it. Okay? So, you know, you can always tell what people value by where they spend their time, where they expend their resources. Okay? We have two assemblies on the Lord's Day. One in the morning, we have usually pretty good turnout. Lord's Day evening, it's now less than half regularly of our morning. Am I right, Brad? Quite a bit less than half. Our evening numbers have dropped, specifically since COVID hit. Our numbers in general have dropped, other than the work that many of the brethren are doing in discipling people out there, bringing them out of the darkness into light. But, I mean, you can tell just by the attendance of the assemblies what's important. I know people work. I know people are sick. I know people have commitments to maybe individuals in their family that need their assistance. I understand all that. I'm not talking about any of that. And I have to always make that exception, mention that when I'm doing this, because somebody will get online, listen to this, pull it out of context, and accuse me of something. Okay, so I understand all that. But when you have no other reason other than the football game's on, and I'm still kind of a Broncos fan. I'm probably way more of a MSU Bobcat fan than a Bronco fan now. Broncos are playing Sunday night football. You know, if I had to listen to me or watch the Broncos, I'd probably choose the Broncos. Okay, but, you know, I understand that. But look, that's what's happening tonight. Some people are home watching football. That's only, or watching their favorite Sunday evening program. They have decided what's valuable. Okay? And they're staying there. And for whatever reason. Now, some people travel distances, you know, they're 30, 40 miles away. I understand that too. You know, okay. It's where you chose to live. All right. Now, look, I'm not, you guys are going to take the, man, he's attacking everybody tonight. Look, maybe you can see it that way. But, brethren, what are we going to do when it gets rough? What are we going to do? Is it then we're going to decide to hit Sunday evening and say, no, you're not. If you can't make it now, you're not going to make it then. Trust me. Okay, so I am so thankful for the folks that regularly gather together here on Lord's Day evening, Wednesday evenings, put the right value on the assemblies and understand this is where we're being equipped for the work of service and also where we're being equipped so we can stand when the temperature gets turned up. So that's, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing and why tonight I'm making an impassioned plea again. If you're not here on, you know, Wednesday nights or whatever, why? You know, that's my question. Why? Is there something more important than the assembly? I don't know. You know, I'm sure that people that might have been listening online, I've probably lost at least half of those by now. Because they're probably mad at me. But I'm not saying that people listening online, I'm just telling you, brethren, when I'm up front, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to get more and more pointed in my messages. Okay? Because I see what's coming. Now, I care for everybody in this assembly. I care for all Christians. But, you know, Brother Jay's been saying it for years. And it's time for us to start saying it in here. We got to quit playing games. Are we in or are we out? Are we in or are we out? Now, I understand that there's reasons you can't. Again, if you're listening and you hear this, You have to trust your decision making, you know, and why you're not here. That it's a legitimate reason, and there are legitimate reasons. So please understand that. Okay, now that I've got at least half of you mad at me, and listening online and here in the assembly, you know, feeling like I've attacked you, we'll now go on into our study, and hopefully I'll keep you with me. So we talked about this word logizomai, about are we going to appraise, are we going to value things properly? And like I said, we looked at some of those. Now I want to look at, we're going to get into considered, where it's actually used eventually, but there's a few other places where this word is translated. And in the book of Romans, like I said, there's a boatload of them. So I just want to run through a few of them real quick so you can see this. And again, this is Paul dealing with people that are, you know, Jews are coming out of a law system that they've understood for approximately 1,400, 1,500 years, moving into something called faith of Christ, and they're struggling with it, and that's a legitimate struggle. Okay? But he's trying to move them to a proper understanding, and he's doing a compare, contrast, and he's getting them, he's using this word over and over, logizomai, and he's saying, inventory this, count this, consider, you know, regard this, all this type of aspects being communicated, but really what he's saying is, you got to put a pro and a con column together. What's the pros here? What's the cons? Evaluate this. What makes more sense? And so it's used, like I said, 19 times, 11 times, 11 times in the book of Romans, it's used in chapter 4 alone. And Mr. Toole did a great Lord's Day Bible class explaining circumcision, the old covenant, and immersion under the new covenant. And if you didn't hear that, I want to encourage you to go back, get on our website, newcreation.us, look for that, okay, and listen to it. And listen to it. But here we go, in chapter 4, okay, beginning here in verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Doesn't say believed in God. Believed God, and it was inventoried to him as righteousness. So every time you see credited here in this chapter, every time you see credited, it's that word. Verse 4, now the one who works his wage is not inventoried as a favor, but as what is due. You earn that puppy, right? Right? Verse 5, but the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is inventoried as righteousness. You know, you can put that in here, inventory, counted. Okay? Use either word and just go through this. Verse 6, just as David also speaks of blessing on the man whom God inventories righteousness apart from works. He's going to count your righteousness apart from works. That's going to, man, this is rocking the boat with a Jewish mind. What do you mean? Okay? Blessed are those whose lost deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not inventory. There it is, take into account. Right? And verse 9, can you see this? Just over, over, over in this chapter. See how he's driving this home? Faith, faith, faith is what's going to count. Right? So that's the whole deal here. Faith is what counts. That's what God's going to inventory off. Do you believe him? Again, so we, you know, we all have to ask ourselves, do I believe God? You know, when you said, you know, like, I'm going to go back to the assemblies again. Do I believe God that when he says that the assembly is important and this is where we get together for, you know, the purpose of being equipped for the work? Do we believe that? Have we put value in it? Now, I know work schedules are such that you can't make every assembly. I understand that. Things change, vacations. Hey, okay. But, you know, again, this is just, it's a hot button issue for me, okay, the assembly is, because I just see how important it is. I've seen the people that plug in and listen and pay attention to classes, and these are the ones that go, and they're the ones that typically will stand. Not always, but typically. Okay, so I just gave you a few from Romans 4 there. Read Romans 4 completely when you get home tonight. See how often that word credit shows up there. All right? So that's just Romans 4, all right? I told you that it appears in other forms in like 1 Corinthians. So let's just take a look at a couple of quick ones in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love chapter, right? So, I wonder if you'll be able to figure out, if you do a quick reading of the first six verses while I'm talking here, if you'll be able to figure out, I know what verse he's going to point out. I know which one. I'm trying to give you just a minute or so you can do a quick zoom through that and go, oh, anybody got the verse I'm going to, anybody read through that real fast, figured out what verse I'm going to use? Based on some of those clues I've given you, counted, you know, credited, take into account, big clue, five, there we go. Somebody said it. Love does not act becomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. How petty some of us can be, huh? Somebody says wrong thing, doesn't present thing perfectly. You know, something's, you know, they say something to our kids wrong. You know, what? I can go through a myriad of reasons, and all of a sudden we're done with them. I'm done. I'm not talking to that person. He's a jerk. Kevin got all over me about not being at every assembly. I'm done with him. He's a jerk. Okay, let's assume I just did it wrong. It says here, love does not take that into account. You forgive me. Verse 11, that's an important one. Again, he's talking about the gifts. These are childish things, he says, the gifts. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, inventory like a child. Notice here it's reason. But that's inventory. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, count like a child. One, two, three, four, six, right? So, you know, I'm overdoing it. You guys know I'm being overly dramatic, but what's he talking about? And he goes on to say, look, what we see now is, this is a dim picture. And the gifts ain't going to pull it off long time. These manifestations, it's the faith, and it's hope, and it's love. They're going to get the job done. Right? So that's 1 Corinthians. I wanted to look at those. Let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. And again, this is just some other ways this word is used. Okay? And this is really important, these verses I'm going to read, because this has to do with us being ambassadors of Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We live here in this foreign country. We're foreigners and aliens, right? You know, even in America. So, and we have a job to get done for our regent. We'll just say the one who reigns. All right. So, in verse 18, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of pettiness, namely. Oh, I'm sorry, the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting, not inventorying their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Are you going to try and reconcile people to God when you can't forgive them yourself? Are you really? I don't think so. When you're worried about everything that everybody's ever done wrong to you, or what the world is presently doing wrong to you, you will not open your mouth and act as a minister of reconciliation, because you're counting their trespasses against them. And what does it say here? We're not supposed to count them. This is real stuff, isn't it? You know, we can't play games with Christianity. This is real stuff. Why am I so worked up when somebody does something wrong to me? And particularly in the assembly. And this is what bugs me in a big, big way. Is how petty some of us can be in reference to one another when we say something not right, or we don't do something quite right, or whatever. It's time to stop that stuff. We need to be able to rally around each other now, because when it really gets bad, brethren, we're not going to be able to rally to each other if we don't have these solid, trusting, forgiving, loving relationships. When it's all about holding everything against the individual that's done something to you. When the first thing out of your mouth is something negative, negative, negative about an individual. Somebody said, make it hot tonight, so I'm making it hot tonight for that individual. I won't name them so that they won't get in any trouble. Okay. All right. Philippians 4. Remember, these are all inventory checklists, shall we say. Okay? By the way, I want to say something else. There are things doctrinally that are very, very important. And there are things doctrinally that, as we're working with new Christians, are not super important. Okay, what did Kevin just say? Did he contradict himself? No, Kevin did not. I'm just saying I'm more interested in teaching a person about New Testament salvation, New Testament understanding the indwelling Holy Spirit, New Testament new creation principles, than worrying about everything they don't have right lined out, squared away on the exterior. Okay? Look, we've got people coming into the, and we're going to see it increasingly, and this is something Jay has mentioned before too, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with Jay. You know, I get on my bike, ride it every morning for an hour, my stationary bike, and I sit down there and I stew about how I can rail on you guys. No, not really. I sit down there and I listen to messages. That's what I do when I'm riding my stationary bike, imagining I'm traveling through whatever land. Okay? I'm listening to messages. And a lot of them have been Jay's Bible classes. I've gone back and listened to stuff that's 10 plus years old. Started over listening. I'm like, man, and I bet even before that he was saying the same things. But, you know, so what am I getting at? He said, look, increasingly coming into our assemblies, we're going to see people that dress immodestly. They don't do everything right externally. They're going to have tattoos. They're going to have piercings. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. They're not going to have themselves squared away, men and women. Who cares? What's important is we need to teach them the New Testament, new creation principles, brethren, and let them arrive at their own understanding of what the Scripture says about things, and they will make the right transition on their own, and then it's solid. It's not somebody going, why haven't you got this figured out yet? Who made you judge and arbiter over that individual? Again, this is stuff that's on my mind because it's super important. We're worried about things that we shouldn't really be worried about with certain individuals. And if you're not working with that individual, go talk to the one that is, accept what they tell you, and move on. All right, especially if it's somebody that's deemed to be in leadership, and that doesn't make somebody in leadership automatically infallible. Don't get me wrong, okay? But, you know, come on. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, inventory on these things. Notice it says dwell. Consider these things. You're all going, well, how come you didn't do that before you got up here, Kevin? You're sure railing on us tonight. Point taken. All right, but this is something that's just really important. Now let's take a quick look at some of these ones that are considered. We're going to go through a couple, three quickly, and I'll be done. Okay, and then I just got one more message out of this series, I think. And that'll be the end of it. At least on this subject for the short term. Romans 6. Now if we have died, verse 8, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider. So here's that word, logizomai. Inventory yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't delude yourselves, but inventory yourselves. This is a picture God gives you. So is this something I can do? You know, Larry was up here and talked about Romans 7 being a huge impact in people in the religious marketplace today, and it is. They think they can't be anything like Christ. The Scripture teaches that with the help and the guidance of the Word of God, along with a clean conscience, being assisted through the indwelling Holy Spirit, you can do that. So even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean if you haven't got it squared away and you're struggling with stuff, somehow, you know, you're not being honest with yourself. Okay? People can struggle through things and get through things. Okay? But what we want to make sure that when they're struggling through those things, or they're, you know, the best way to get them through that is to present the picture of who God says they are. Amen? This is who God says you are. This is what I've worked on for a long time with you guys, other than tonight being, you know, slightly negative. I mean, you know, I usually try and tell you guys, this is the picture I want you to see, who God says you are. And that means if you accept that picture of who you are, it's easy then to turn to your brother and sister in Christ and go, this is who you are too. I can oversee that little blip that you, maybe in an imperfect statement you made there, or this inconsiderate thing you did over there. You know, that's what I'm trying to work on tonight, is we need to get beyond that. There's some serious stuff coming down the road. Romans 8. All right. Verse 16. This is, again, Larry was in this chapter earlier tonight, talking about everybody that has the Spirit of Christ indwelling them, the indwelling Holy Spirit, they belong to Christ, right? All who are being led by the Spirit of God. In verse 14, he says, these are sons, children of God. Right? You not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Notice that. We're not supposed to be fearful. But you have received the spirit of adoption to sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, when you're in struggling, God wants you to cry out. He doesn't want you to go, I can't approach the throne of grace in a time of need to find mercy. He'll smack. No, he wants you to approach him. The Spirit himself testifies in verse 16 of Romans 8 with our spirit that we are children of God. We belong to him. He accepts us. He's glad to have us as his children. Okay? And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Heirs of God. Go and tell somebody you're an heir of God out there in the culture today. They're going to look at, call the boys with the white suits. You know, got a crazy over here. All right? Do you believe this stuff? Is it crazy to believe this stuff? There's people even within our movement, the greater, we'll call it the Restoration Movement, think some of this stuff that I'm telling you tonight is just absolute nonsense. Okay, the Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. If you don't believe in glory to come, your eternal home, the suffering that we may suffer in the near present future. That's an oxymoronic statement. But in the near future, okay? If you don't think it's worthy, okay? Again, these are all things that we need to drive home. Because things are really, really dark out there. All right, 2 Corinthians 3. 5. Those are the ones I wanted to touch in Romans. There's another one in Romans 8:36, but I'm not going to go there. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Ministers of the New Covenant, Paul's saying, here's what we're doing as apostles and as those that are working with the apostles. He says, you know, you are a letter, verse 2, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. He's defending his apostleship, brother. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. See, he's impacted these people. Okay? Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So where does real self-esteem come from? Not from ourselves, brethren, but our adequacy, if it's inventoried properly, understand it comes from God. He said we're adequate. That's good enough. That's good enough. Okay? And let me see. What's the last one I want to hit here for tonight? Now, there's a couple other passages in 2 Corinthians 10, 7, and 11, which you can look at. Okay? I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 11. And there's other considers, brethren, that I have not mentioned other than in passing here. We talked about Hebrews 11, 19, about Abraham, you know, considered that God was able to raise men from the dead. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5. We'll stop, or we'll close out with this tonight. 2 Corinthians 11, when I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness. But indeed you are bearing with me. And you guys are with me tonight. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you a pure virgin. But I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this fault beautifully. For I consider myself, I inventory myself, not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles, but even if I am unskilled in speech, you know, that's what they're charging him with, I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. I consider myself not the least inferior. There's a problem. Well, some people say, man, I don't know if I could have done the things that Daniel did if I was alive when Daniel was alive and the conditions Daniel had to face. I'm not sure I could have done that. Well, hold on. What did Jesus say about the least in the kingdom? Greater. Greater. See, so Paul's here saying, hey, look, I don't consider myself inferior to any of the other apostles, to the most eminent ones, the most well-known. He said, hey, you know, I was given a job. I was given a task. I understand what the Lord told me and who he told me I am, and I believe that because he told me, and I'm going forward. So, brethren, I just want to remind you again tonight. The Lord has told you who you are. You're his children. Okay? He has told you you are adequate. He has given you adequacy. All right? He has said all the great things that he has said about you. You know, you're his children. Physical death will not separate you from Christ. That's in Romans 8. We didn't cover that one. All right? There's all these things that we could go through. Temporal pain is nothing compared to eternal gain. I mean, we just go through all of these. And so what is this? Am I looking at the scripture as I read this? Am I racing through it? And brethren, I have found myself doing that in my daily reading in the past. And particularly in the last couple of months as I've started to work on this consider stuff, since July in particular, I've really slowed my reading down again. And I'm really looking at things deeply now, once again. And just really locking in and trying to figure out, okay, am I understanding everything completely here? Am I picking up all the things that are present in this passage? Do I truly understand what's being communicated? Do I have it in context? See? And that's what I'm trying to get you guys to understand. We need to, as we're reading, comprehend what we're reading. And you know, I again, want to remind you, one of the greatest miracles ever performed by our God is that we have this word, and it has not been allowed to be tainted or defiled. That's amazing in and of itself when you think of all the enemies aligned against God in the world over the last 5,000 years in particular. Think of that. I mean, this is amazing. You know, and so did you read your Bible? Oh, no, but I got my 30 minutes in on my games, you know, my video game. Got the best video game setup you ever seen. Did you read your scripture today? No. You know, now look, I'm not going after anybody. I'm just saying this. I know game playing, video games is huge in our culture, and many of our households have been impacted by that. I have a grandson that is very involved in video games. I know what I'm talking about, so if I, you know, you can say I'm attacking my own family if you want to view it that way. Okay? Excuse me. But now, my grandson is not a Christian. Okay? But I'm just saying, you know, what? Again, what are we doing? What are we doing? I'm asking myself that. What am I doing? So I'm on my computer most of the day looking at stuff, reading things, trying to get things squared away, understand where things are in the world. So, okay, am I ready for what's coming? How am I going to help the brethren to understand this? Really, that's what I'm doing. I'm reading my scripture, trying to figure out how does that apply here? How can I share this? Can I talk about politics up front without upsetting everybody? I should be able to. Is it important? We have an election coming up. Is it important? And, you know, and Raina and I have been talking about some stuff from a political nature, just discussing some things. And you know, do we understand our responsibility as Christians in the political realm? We do have responsibility there, don't you think? When the church does nothing and we end up with leaders that are like they are because we don't want to be involved, are we partially responsible? Yeah. So am I saying pour your life into politics? I'm going to be the first guy to say nope. Nope. But should you be informed? Should you vote based upon biblical principles? Absolutely. And if you're not, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing that? Why am I voting for somebody that really got an ungodly agenda? Because over here, they give me one thing that I get from the taxpayer free. That's why I'll vote for that guy or that gal. So, again, brethren, if I didn't make at least all you a little unhappy tonight, I failed. I failed, didn't I? You know? My goal wasn't to make you mad. It really wasn't. But I'm just, it's challenge time. You know, we're way worked up about so much insignificant stuff. I just don't understand it. And there's so much more greater, important, and critical stuff that are coming. You know, and I mentioned, I'm just going to mention this again. Things are going on in the world with energy and food. Brethren, I'm telling you, this next year is going to be very interesting. And I hope we're ready. I hope we're ready. And we're not sticking our head in the sand. We're actually preparing. Because the things that are coming could get really ugly, food-wise, in the next year. Okay? So pay attention. Don't go into panic mode. Don't want you to panic. There's plenty of things you can do to prepare. Be logical. But think about these things. Consider these things. Okay? Let's stand. Father, we thank you. First, I want to thank you for your mercy and your patience directed towards me on a personal level. I'm thankful for that. Lord, that I know I don't always get everything right as yet, but like the Apostle Paul, I forget what lies behind and I press forward. I have to let go of it. And I can't let people keep me back there because you've asked me to go forward. So, Lord, I'm praying that the brothers and sisters tonight will take what's been said, sift through it, judge it, and appraise it appropriately, and look at what way they can motivate themselves to go forward, to consider the things that are important to you, the inventory of items that you've laid out there in the New Testament for us to consider, to appraise, and value. Lord, I know in the end we win. I know it. I am absolutely convinced and grateful of that. But you also tell us that there's going to be a lot of battles that are going to be waged, and there's going to be some really dark times. So help us to rally to each other and to support one another, not to turn and bite and devour one another. It's really important that we understand how valuable we are to you, and then that also applies to our brother and sister in Christ. So, Father, I'm just thankful again that your mercy and patience has been extended towards me. I was able to live 38 years before I came to knowledge of truth, and you gave me the opportunity to become one of yours. And so, you know, I don't know where everybody's at, but I'm just thankful for that. So thankful for everybody in this assembly that's in Christ that was given that patience, that mercy, that demonstration of love as well. Help us to remember who you've made us to be, and particularly tonight, I want to remember, we are ministers of reconciliation. Are we interested in forwarding your agenda or our own agenda? And are we really willing to let those trespasses that have been, you know, been waged against us on a personal level, are we willing to let those go so that we can execute the purpose you've entrusted to us? I pray that we are able to do that. Help us to turn to you when that gets difficult, to turn to the Scripture, to remember who we are, so that you'll be glorified by the things that we do and that we may marvel upon the time of your visitation, and others will marvel at it as well because they've seen our personal example. Thank you again for all that you've done for us in Christ. We pray you receive all the glory and honor and the thanksgiving for what you've done on our behalf. We exalt your name, Lord Jesus, high above all other names, and we praise you. Amen.